Wake up, wake up. That's right. It's Friday, March the 13th. The 49ers have signed a free agent corner, and the grind never ends. Let's go.
I mean, it's not just a Friday wake up. It's Friday the 13th. Very scary. Very scary. Welcome, everyone. Like and subscribe. He's Larry. I'm Damon. It's great to have you here. And Larry, I honestly, you know, just a quick thumbnail look at the first week of free agency here for the 49ers. I think it's been a pretty good week. I like some of the moves. You know, there's not a lot of perfect out there. There is one move that I would almost classify as perfect, though. And if anything else, by the end of today's show, we are going to teach everyone how to properly pronounce Odighizuwa. Odighizuwa. Say it again.
It's just the way it's spelled. I was talking to Brad Sham, the voice of the Cowboys. I said, Brad, what'd you think the first time you had to pronounce Odighizuwa? And he's like, you know what, Larry? It actually looks the way it, you know, it reads the way it looks as opposed to, Penn State guard, whose name, first name and last name have no relation pronunciation wise to the spelling.
That, you know, I got two kids right now, and we talk about how English is an incredibly weird language because it breaks its own pronunciation rules at all times. And certainly Odighizuwa, I'm diggy. I like to hit the diggy on that. I don't know if it's I hit that I really hard, but I like to say it that way. And Larry, I love the move. When we really sit back and talk about some of the best trades that John Lynch will make or has made in his career, obviously, right at the front of that, you're going to have Christian McCaffrey, number one for all time, followed by Trent Williams. I wouldn't be surprised if this were third on the list on John Lynch's career resume of best trades. If healthy, and if he plays anything that is reminiscent of the player that played in Dallas, the San Francisco 49ers have an absolute pocket-moving game wrecker in the middle of their defense now for a third-round draft pick. It is value. And don't let the, a couple years from now or a year from now, he's going to be $20 million a year. Everybody's about to be $20 million a year in the NFL. If you're a starter who's good, you're making $20 million a year in this league. We are going to see, I promise you, this year, well, next year, I guess I should say, the biggest cap jump we've ever seen. I bet you the cap goes up something like 35 to 40 million next year because the rate of pay for players right now is outgrowing the growth of cap. And it's going to have to keep on going up if these guys are going to come up and set record contracts each and every offseason. But I absolutely love the move. I think it's a strong move. It's a smart move. It's the right compensation. And what he's going to do to improve this defensive line and the play all around him, specifically C.J. West, who serves a similar body type. Larry, I think it might be the best move of the offseason for the 49ers. As a matter of fact, I'm not even going to say it might be. It is.
You know, if you're struggling as a franchise with moves, just follow the Cowboys around, because the Cowboys are like the one guy, you know, they're the one team that, like, you know, analytics be damned, everything be damned. It's just about Jerry's whims and Steven's whims. And, you know, it's an organization run by a senior citizen who's impulsive. And so what happened here? Dallas had an issue with Micah Parsons. I mean, it's like what led to the Niners getting this awesome player for relatively nothing? And I think the price was pretty fair. I mean, I don't think the Cowboys got taken for a ride or anything. I think it's relatively fair, but the Niners win this deal. And here's why. Because the Cowboys had this issue over here with Micah Parsons. Do we pay him? Do we not? He's got problems off the field. We don't like him. He's had injuries, blah, 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 but he's awesome. What do we do? What do we do? What do we do? Finally, they're like, you know what? We're going to trade him. So they traded him to Green Bay for Kenny Clark and a bunch of picks, right? And so now Kenny Clark is this defensive tackle that suddenly shows up, and now they've got both Kenny Clark and Osa Odighizuwa. And you're like, all right, the Cowboys are set. But no, they wanted to turn around and trade a couple of those picks to the Jets for Quinnen Williams at the deadline. So now, Damon, they have Quinnen Williams, Kenny Clark, and Osa Odighizuwa, who they had just signed to an extension. So then they go into the year, and obviously Quinnen's the new shiny object, so he's their star. So right. He ain't going anywhere. And actually, if you look at the numbers, Damon, Osa outperformed both Kenny Clark and Quinnen Williams. And just because he's kind of the incumbent, and we see this with people that are not very confident in business, they value other people's people more than they value their own people. And this is a classic example of that. They valued Kenny Clark and Quinnen Williams more than Osa Odighizuwa, who had evolved from draft choice into team leader, spiritual leader of the Cowboys, production leader on defense. And they trade him, and they trade him to the Niners for a third round pick. So, you know, I think it's a relatively fair deal, actually, because like what would, you know, I'm thinking of what would the Niners do if they kept the pick. I was advocating for Zane Durant out of Penn State in the third round. I don't know if he'll be there in the third round, but he is that kind of pass rushing tackle that Osa is. But even that, Damon, it's like, it's a hope that you're going to draft the guy and that he's going to be healthy and he's going to fit in your defense and fit in your locker room. And there's all these ifs. And then like, if everything works out, he'll be Osa Odighizuwa. So now essentially all that risk is gone. You just traded for a 27-year-old Osa. I talked to Brad Sham. He's like, dude, you guys are getting in a great player. Who's there's nothing wrong with him. It's not like he's a bad guy. He's not a
look. He was a captain. Hurt. He was a captain on the team, Larry.
And just one game in 5 years. How about that? He's incredibly durable.
2 years ago, I had the Dallas Cowboys defense for my fantasy football team, and I was in a lot of games where like whatever the defense does might tilt this week. So I watched more Dallas Cowboys football than I wanted to. You couldn't help but notice this guy stood out. He plays the run really, really well. He just pushes that pocket. He makes quarterbacks uncomfortable. He sees angles. He plays with great leverage. And I am, like I said earlier, very excited about the mentorship he could provide CJ West. Very similar body types. And you talk about outperforming. You know who Odighizuwa outperformed? Every single 49er defensive lineman combined.
He's their best player on defense, on their defensive line the day he walks in the door. People would say Bosa. But Bosa's coming off a major injury, his third ACL. He's getting up there in age. Bosa's, you know, this guy's 27 and is playing his best football right now.
I think it's a great move. I think, you know, we sit around and we nitpick what John Lynch does or doesn't do. That's the game. That's what we play. I think it's good business. I think it's good business. It's good financial business. It's really good football business. And I think that the 49ers defense got better in that one move. Now, when it comes to the other move that obviously everybody started circling around yesterday, it's the return of Dre Greenlaw. How can just that premise, just Dre Greenlaw back with the 49ers, like it hits the eardrum well, doesn't it? It's like, ooh, yeah. Now we'll see what we actually get here. 15 solo tackles, an interception in the sack in 8 games with Denver, where he wore out his welcome fast. He was not liked by that coaching staff. He was not liked in that locker room. I've got a buddy in Denver who told me that, they were happy that he's gone.
That's total. That's total bullshit.
I
don't care. I know Talanoa Hufanga. I saw them practice this summer. I've seen Dre Greenlaw around his team.
That was very early in the year. Apparently, as things wore on, frustrations came out, arguments were had, coaches were screamed at, officials were screamed at. The guys, you know,
that's life in the NFL, man.
I
hate to tell you, there's lots and lots and lots of exactly that going on at the Niner complex.
Of course, but hey, Don't kill the messenger. I'm just telling you what I heard from a guy who knows.
So I'm telling you that there's no way in hell that Drake Greenlaw is a bad teammate.
All right.
Well, I mean, I'll just do this. Lots of people,
we're not arguing about this.
Lots of people have a hard time coming to grips with their mortality in the sport. And this guy's had a lot of injuries, and I'm sure there's a lot of frustration. And, you know, I don't doubt that there was hand-wringing and back and forth. But Drake Greenlaw's a great teammate.
Great guy. Look,
the guys in this room love him.
Absolutely.
Like to no end. Almost more than almost any player that I've seen roll through the Niner organization under Shanahan. I mean, this guy is beloved.
He was a bad boyfriend in Denver. He's been a great boyfriend in San Francisco. Everybody loves him here, and rightfully so, because when he played, he was a wrecking crew for the 49ers. He really, really was. He's only, though, played in 10 games over his last two NFL seasons, and that is probably where an awful lot of the frustration comes from. If his name were not Dre Greenlaw, you would not be excited that this player had been signed. But knowing him, knowing what he meant to San Francisco, knowing that there's an element of a relationship that has worked here that did not work in Denver, that means it's, I think, at the right price, it's good business. And if anything else, as we talked about on Niners Nightly last night, and Larry, thanks for having me back on KNBR. That was fun. I think this is really good for D. Winters. It's really good to either challenge or push D. Winters, or for D. Winters to once again be the understudy to, you know, Uncle Dre. And what's interesting about this, too, because we've just been talking about him, and when a guy gets, you know, I don't want to say injury prone, but when injuries mount, it always feels like he's older than he is. He's going to be 29 in May. He's still pretty young, but his body has been beaten up. If healthy, we know what he can do. We've seen it. We've admired it. So has this team. I think it's a really good move. I hope the Dre Greenlaw that we remember is the Dre Greenlaw that the 49ers just re-signed for, if he's anything like that. $7.5 million is a song for this guy.
Yeah, I mean, this guy is, well, first of all, I mean, I'm torn on this because part of me wanted to see them go young and rip off the Band-Aid and build, because LA's young and Seattle's young and these other teams that you're going up against are getting young, and you've got one of the oldest rosters, and I just want to see him go younger. But, you know, the one thing about Greenlaw is that he plays at a level where it's like he demands that everybody else plays at that level. Now, I think his presence alone adds quite a bit to this defense. If you remember the first half of the Super Bowl against Kansas City in Vegas, Dre Greenlaw totally dominated. And Cincinnati and Patrick Mahomes came off the field and was like, we need to ratchet up the intensity. And that was all in relation to how Greenlaw was playing early on and how the Niner front line was playing early on. They were just on fire early on. So I like it from that perspective. It's like, if you want everybody to play super hard, you got to have that one guy in the room who plays at that crazed level that it means so much to him. And then everybody will typically rise to that level. So that's kind of what I'm hoping. I mean, the bottom line is they're paying him $7 million. He's a steal at that point, at that price point. If he plays half the games, the value, I think, is still there. It does kind of make their linebacker room quite interesting, right? So you have Fred Warner. Now you have Dre Greenlaw. Greenlaw could start in front of D. Winters, potentially. Then you have D. Winters. You also have Nick Martin. You have Tatum Bethune, who, you know, thinks that his starting time has begun. You have Garrett Wallow that you brought back already as your special teams linebacker. So, I mean, most teams keep six linebackers. That's six right there. So, I mean, is linebacker no longer in need? I still think it is. I still think I would draft a linebacker or two, but I wouldn't overdo it, because if you draft, you might be drafting for another team, because
you are sitting there. If you're looking linebacker now in this upcoming draft, it's going to be one of those compensatory picks in the fourth round. It's no longer the priority. And I don't think defensive tackle is now the priority, considering Odighizuwa is now in the room. And they drafted two defensive tackles last year as well. And it feels like defensive tackle is the position that you do get to find in the undrafted market. I mean, remember, Sebastian Valdez is still a guy I think who's on the come and on the rise, and I hope gets snaps this year. But when you look at what the Niners have done here, Larry, over the last week, welcome to Mike Evans, the wide receiver who's going to the Hall of Fame and will on day one, the minute he steps on the practice field, Brock Purdy is playing with the best wide receiver he's ever played with in his career, regardless of age. Odighizuwa, obviously. Nate Hobbs from the Green Bay Packers is the corner that was attached to the team late last night. We'll talk about him in just a second. Two offensive linemen, Brett Toth and Verdarian Lowe. And again, welcome back to Dre Greenlaw. They have re-signed Jake Tongas, Eddie Pinheiro, Garrett Wallow, Patrick Taylor, Austin Pleasance, and long snapper John Weeks. So, you know, when I look at all of those moves, I think pretty good. That's a good start to free agency. They kept guys that they needed. They brought in a few guys that I think will help. They have said goodbye to Kendrick Bourne, Robert Beal Jr., who's off to Miami. Bourne's going to Arizona. Jordan Elliott's off to Tennessee. Matt Hennessy's going to Dallas. Bryce Huff is going into the battery business or something like that. He is retired, so there is now another need at edge that, you know, this team needs to address for sure. And the one that I do think is the, oh, it's too bad he gets away, is Sky Moore. Sky Moore is off to Green Bay, and I thought that he was a big part of the 49ers special teams resurgence. I'm sorry to see him go, but at the same time, that's supposed to be a position that is easier to fill than others. And I know that that's a loaded prediction, because it's not easy. There's nothing easy on an NFL field. But hopefully they can go ahead and solve that internally.
Well, I mean, you're not going to solve every need in free agency. They said they were going to be kind of targeted in their approach, and they've been targeted in their approach. I mean, the OSA trade was, I think, their best move. But I really like the move they made last night. You know, let's talk a little bit about Nate Hobbs. You know, it's funny, everybody's so statistically driven that it's like, if you don't have a good statistical year and you're not ranked very highly for a moment, all of a sudden everybody's like, ah, that's it. You know, he's ranked 28th against the pass, or, you know, whatever it is. And it's like, well, dude, this guy had an entire career before last year and he was really good. So let's talk a little bit about Hobbs. I think this is a great addition. They get a 26-year-old slot corner, Nate Hobbs, 6 feet, 195. You know, he didn't have a very good year in Green Bay, so he comes in with something to prove. He played for the Illini as a true freshman 1 year out of high school in 2017. He led the Illini in total defensive snaps and had 48 tackles. So he was only a three-star recruit. But he went to Illinois. He was good there. Raiders took him in the fifth round of the 2021 draft. And, you know, he was a Raider in 21, 22, 23, and 24. He was the part of the PFF all-rookie team in 2021. He was really good right away. And then he signed with the Packers in the offseason for big cash. 4 years, $48 million. And he just got hurt. He got caught up in a numbers game. He didn't play well for them. He had 11 total appearances, only 5 starts, 27 tackles, 2 passes defense, and then they put him on IR at the end of December with an MCL tear and with a knee injury. So it wasn't a good year for him. So people who are, you know, weighing in from Green Bay are like, oh, he stunk. He couldn't get on the field. Green Bay doesn't get rid of good players. Really? Green Bay has gotten rid of good players before, and I think Hobbs is a pretty good player. He's scheme versatile. He can play, you know, he was groomed as a youngster in that Tampa 2 scheme. He can play zone. He's good in the cover 3. The Niners run a lot of cover 3. He's got great feet. He's got elite burst. He had a 9.62 RAS score coming out of the combine. He was a high school high jumper. So he's got elite jumping ability, 40.5 inch vert, 11.3 on the broad. He's really strong. His weakness, he had 17 reps at 225. His weakness at Illinois was that he was great against the pass, but not very strong against the run. He ran 4.48 at the combine. What I think the Niners like about him is that he's going to replace Chase Lucas, where Chase Lucas could only play inside and didn't give you much as a run defender. now this player, Hobbs, has evolved Damon from not a good run defender early on to he's a very good run defender now. He had a top 10 in PFF run defense grade, really good against the run now. But I think why they went for him is he can play the slot and he can play the boundary. His numbers are better inside, but he can play both inside and outside.
A lot of NFL reps on his body at a young age. He's played the game. He's been around. And when you play the game, sometimes you look bad playing the game. And like you said, he was bad last year. I don't just come up with, like, let me read a few paragraphs and then give you my opinion. I go to a source. So I contacted my guy in Green Bay, Bart Winkler, who's been covering the Packers forever. And he says, look, you know, I asked him a simple question. I said, what intel can you give me on Nate Hobbs? Why are the Packers moving on from a 27-year-old cornerback with a lot of experience? He says he was hurt a lot and ineffective when healthy. They signed him to a decent deal, but it ballooned a little bit. So it's a little bit of a cap casualty as well, just not producing when he needs to at this point in his career. He's probably better as a slot guy, but the Packers needed him to be a cornerback one for a few weeks, and it was bad. Is exactly what he sent me. But, you know, to me, I would have liked to seen Chase Lucas around. I still think Chase Lucas has a place on this football team and might be back before it's all said and done. But this is another guy who's played in the league. And when you do play, here's the thing, corner, it's hard to look good as a corner, man, especially when you're the other corner on a team and you got teams picking on you. I think this is Renardo Green's problem. I think Renardo Green is better than the nerd calculus returned against him because he got picked on. Diamador Lenore was doing his job. Renardo Green was the easier target. So I know I got Nate Hobbs as a full wait and see. Wait and see. Let's see what he actually does. He's young. He's experienced. But I think that's where, you know, the accolades sort of need to end until he goes out and proves that new faces and new places can get better. New places and new places can change trajectory. We'll see. We'll see what he does. But I don't think it's much, and I hope he proves me wrong. Let's see. No,
I really like it. I mean, what Green Bay did was they threw a bunch of money at a guy who had been really good as a slot corner. Then they had injuries at the outside cornerback spot, and they just told him to get out there. And he wasn't very good. Then he got hurt, and then they parted ways. You know, and they have some good players back there. But I think this is a really great pickup for the Niners. Why? Because, one, it doesn't cost you anything as far as the draft compensation thing because he was a cap casualty. Same like Dre Greenlaw. Because these guys were cut loose, they're not part of that compensatory formula. So he doesn't count against that. 2 years ago, I think, is much more reflective of who he was. He was really good. I mean, 2 years ago, he had zero penalties on the year and was playing at a really high level, which was how he earned that four-year, $48 million deal. The concern I have more than anything is durability. He's missed at least four games in each of the last four seasons, and it's always kind of the same thing. He's having a recurrence of ankle injuries and knee injuries, and they haven't been super serious.
Right, when legs start going on corner, when legs
he's
start
26 he's not, he, he's not first of all he's not his legs aren't going he's 26 he's right, but definitely reoccurring young.
Leg injuries
as far as Chase Lucas, I think Chase Lucas most likely is gone. The Niners had an opportunity to offer Chase Lucas a contract at the restricted free agent deadline to tender him at any number of different levels, and they opted not to. So you know, I love Hobbs. I loved him in the draft the year he came out. He played in college in a great secondary that had Devin Witherspoon, who's now obviously in Seattle, Kirby Joseph, who's been a big-time hitter. And this is an elite athlete. This guy's got vertical. This guy's got speed. He's got stop and start. He's got quickness. He's a better all-around athlete and a bigger all-around athlete than Chase Lucas. So we'll see. You know, I got to think that Raheem Morris had a lot to do with that, right? That he probably said, hey, look, I really like this guy. Get him in here. So we'll see. We'll see. I like it, though. And if you look at the Niners' depth on the corner now, you know, now you're starting to look at the impact of what they've gotten done in free agency and how it may impact their draft plan. Because if you look at the corner spot, you got to have five good corners, right? Right now you have Renardo Green and you have Demo Anor and you have Upton Stout. Those three are your starters. Saron Neal's your special teamer. You have Darrell Luter. They really like Jacob Robinson, the undrafted kid last year out of BYU. And now you add Nate Hobbs. So you have seven viable NFL corners right there. And they still have a couple other guys. And of course the draft coming up. So corner is, you know, since you need five and they've got seven, you know, corner is not necessarily a priority as much as it was. And I think you could make an argument now with Osa inside. Most teams are going to go with the three defensive tackle alignment. You know, you want four or five. You want five tackles, five ends, right? You want 10 defensive linemen, five defensive ends, five defensive tackles. But you're typically, you only really go with three. They're going to go with your guy, C.J. West. They're going to go with Alfred Collins, and they're going to go with Osa. So they're three-man defensive tackle. You know, they want some depth. They'll add some guys, but they're three guys that are actually going to do it. They're already on the team. So now defensive tackle is kind of pushed to the side as a primary need. And then, you know, so it's setting up for offensive line, defensive edge, safety, and
maybe, you know, wide receiver,
maybe tight end, maybe Kenyon Sadiq. I mean, now you got to start to look at what could the Niners ultimately use their first round pick on. They won't use it on a quarterback. It won't be a running back, but it could be a tight end, an offensive lineman. It could still be a receiver, though I don't believe it will be, but it could be. And by to that end, Omar Cooper, it was just announced today.
This is coming, the breaking news today.
He's coming to Santa Clara for a 30 visit. And we talked about him last night on the show. Omar Cooper is one of the safest players to draft in this draft. Why? Because he's a wide receiver who's not a diva. He's super productive. He blocks. He's 6 feet. He's 200 pounds. He ran in the 4.4s. He jumped 40 inches or 38 inches or whatever. So he's got the athleticism, the production, the film. I mean, he checks every single box.
And the success. Now, I mean, the success.
The only question is,
that really matters,
you want a receiver.
Yeah, and look, I think building from the outside in is the wrong thing to do when you're living in a world where you're being held hostage by Trent Williams once again. I've said it before. I'm going to be a broken record on this. O-line, O-line, O-line. If 27 isn't an offensive lineman, I'm going to be married to the fact I think it's the wrong pick. Sadiq, by the way, ran himself to the top 15. He's not going to be there at 27, so that's, don't even think about that.
Well, you know what they say. You know, I was looking at a mock yesterday that had the Niners obviously at 27, and pick 22 was the Penn State offensive guard. And to me, look at what the Niners need. The Niners need a left guard. What did it's pronounced, by the way? It looks like Vega. It's pronounced Venga. It looks like Ione. It's pronounced Ioane. So it's Venga Ioane. But this guy is
not helping.
This guy, Damon, is
change the spelling or the pronunciation. Pick one.
This guy is, I think, you know, there's good players, there's very good players, there's great players, and then occasionally you'll see a player back, dude, that guy's Canton. And I kind of think if I had to say pick a Canton player out of this draft, I might go with this Venga Ioane. From Penn State. And I might even trade up for him. I mean, I might even consider doing that. He's in this mock, he's going 22 and they pick 27. So they'd have to get up six spots, which is probably doable, but,
I don't know, man. They're running out of draft tackle here, Larry.
But they do have Mac Jones and they do have Trent Williams and they do have Ricky Pearsall and they do have Renardo Green and they do have some pieces that at least have been rumored to be traded. All I'm saying is I'm looking at how 22 through 27 goes, and it's Venga Ioane. Then it's Caden Proctor, who is you know, a house. Caden Proctor is just one of the biggest people you're ever going to see. Then the next guy on the board is Omar Cooper, who ran 4.42, 37-inch vertical, great player. Then Caleb Banks from Tennessee at 25. He's 6'6", 327 pounds. He just pulled out of workouts because of a foot, and he's had foot problems. But, man, this guy ran an incredible 40 with a bad foot. I don't know. Big men with foot problems always concern me. And now the Niners don't really need a defensive tackle, but Banks is so intriguing. Then there's Zion Young, the edge rusher from Missouri, who I think would be my pick because he is an angry, volatile, culture-changing badass up front. And I just think that if you could add Zion Young to Nick Bosa and Osa Odighizuwa, you are officially back, and you are also officially covering your young DBs on the backside. But as you said, offensive tackle is the direction you'd go. And the next guy on this list is this Mac Ionacher from ASU, who's 6'7", 330. The more I'm watching the ASU
if you like houses, this guy's a double wide.
Oh, but you know, here's the thing. He looks lean and he's long. He's 6'6", 330, but he looks like 275. I mean, I know there are people that are like, oh, you know what? He's super raw. But you have Chris. That's what you have Chris Foerster there for. Coach him up. I think if they drafted this kid, Ionacher, from ASU, it's a risk because you're drafting a guy who might sit the bench, because I don't know that you can plug him in necessarily at left guard right away. But if you – let's just say you drafted Ionacher and he can't play left guard. Okay, so maybe he sits his rookie year. That's not ideal. But you may have a player who could be your futuristic, awesome left tackle protecting Brock Purdy's blind side for the next decade with this draft pick. So it's to me, I think it's right between those two guys. Zion Young from Missouri, Max Ionacher from ASU. One's an awesome defensive end who's nasty. The other is just the prototype offensive tackle. He's played right tackle, but he would be the eventual left tackle. Either one of those picks I'd be fine with.
Look, I hear what you're saying when you're talking about you cannot spend a first-round pick on someone who's not seeing the field. And if the tackle that I want cannot kick in and play guard for whatever reason, although what is that reason? You know, if you can play tackle, essentially playing guard should be a little bit of an easier assignment for you. But there's nothing easy again in
there's
football.
Body types. I mean, exactly. Guys are long.
Of course there is. So with Nick, with George Kittle pretty much out this upcoming season, to me, I would look at a tackle as someone who you could say, well, you're telegraphing your play because you're never going to throw him the football. I would play him at tight end. I would play a tackle at tight end to block more, to run the ball more, to be a better run blocker than, you know, Jake Tongas is not that guy on the line of scrimmage.
If you don't put five eligible.
I can find snaps. Find snaps for anyone on this team who can block. I can find them.
If you don't put five eligibles out there, you're basically asking your four guys to get open against five defenders because they're going to double somebody. If you put a non receiver, it's no different than in the NBA when you put a non shooter on the floor, right? You put a non shooter on the floor, they don't guard that guy. You put a non pass rusher on a D line. I think we've seen that in recent days. You know, it's become kind of like everybody's got to be a pass rusher, which is all the more reason why this was such a great trade to get Osa Odighizuwa, because everybody's got to be a pass rusher. And this is one of the best interior pass rushers in his prime. And he's a great guy, and Dallas gave him to you. So it's interesting. You could play a back. Let's say you have Ionacher, right? He's a crazy athlete. And he's not going to start over Trent, and he's not going to start over Colton. You could either start him at guard and, you know, hope he doesn't break a knee or something like that. Or you could put him out there a lot, Damon, as you just suggested in
second
kind of
tight end.
Well, as you're jumbo. You're going right. Jumbo and your
package.
Yeah, I mean, we saw who was it that went six? Was it Seattle? or who was it? Who was it this year in the playoffs that went 6-0 linemen often? And it was, and they had Mumford. Who had Mumford this year? Maybe it was the Eagles. Maybe the Eagles went with 6 offensive linemen for a while. But yeah, I mean, they'll be staring at maybe Caleb Lomu from Utah.
I like Blake, that pick.
Blake Miller from Clemson is the guy that I really like. He's the guy that has the wrestling background. Ian Achor is thought to go 38. I'll tell you the offensive lineman. Jennings Dunker is projected to go 50. So, like, okay, let me give you a draft plan that I think makes sense. The Niners don't have day 3 picks, right? They just don't. I was looking at the list. They don't have day 3 picks. They've got a bunch of
They don't have third round picks. Day 3 picks is where they got the most. It's when they got
They don't have day 3 picks after the fourth round is what I
mean. After the fourth round, right.
So they have nothing in rounds 5, 6, or 7. In my opinion, what I would do in this draft, unless there's a certain player that you're absolutely banking on, do you really love a certain player falling to you? I mean, there's, you know, give you an example, Matt Barrows and Vic Tafer for the Athletic both had the Niners taking Cassius Howell out of Texas A&M and had him falling to the 49ers and where they pick. But I'm looking at that day 3 and I'm thinking, man, there's some really good players there. I'm going to give you 4 or 5 players that I really love that are going to be there. Eric Hunter, the linebacker from Oregon State, amazing player. Miles Rouser, the safety from Arizona State, great hitter. RJ Maryland, Russell Maryland's kid, the tight end from SMU, really good tight end. These are all day 3 guys. The Niners don't have really day 3 picks after the fourth round. I would consider moving back from 27 into this range in the 40s, around 50, and maybe just start with Jennings Dunker.
Well, so, here's the thing. So you're moving back from 27 into the 40s, you're getting more than one pick for that move.
Of course. Yeah, no, I'm just saying, what I'm saying is you have 27, right? And I'm saying maybe move down into the high 30s and then maybe move down again into the early 40s. Who am I targeting in the early 40s? I'm targeting a few players, right? I want to get a great player. I think this is the hot spot, Damon, is between 40 and 50.
Right. I mean, this is between 40 and probably 60. I mean, would well,
40 Daniel and 50. Jeremiah, let me read you 40. Let me read you 40 to 50 on Tankathon. This is just a projection. We don't know how this is going to go. This is, I mean, the draft's not until late April. There's still workouts to be had, but this is 40 to 50. Emmanuel Pregnon from Oregon, who plays left guard and would be a plug and play, an amazing draft pick at 40. Pregnon's gigantic. He's 6'4", 320. He's got long arms. He's tremendous. That's 40. 41 in this Tankathon, Zion Young. 42, Omar Cooper. 43, the great corner from San Diego State, Chris Johnson. 44, the great corner from Indiana, D'Angelo Pons. 47, Jacob Rodriguez from Texas Tech, who's one of the best linebackers in this entire draft.
He is ascended, man. From where his season ended to where he is now, he's going up, up, up.
Oh, he's an awesome player. I mean, the guy had 128 tackles. He had 4 interceptions. Get this. Guess how many forced fumbles this guy had this year?
I think I read it was like 8.
7.
Okay, yeah.
That's a ton of forced fumbles.
Yeah.
So he's 47 on the list.
He's out there peanut punching dudes.
48 on the list, Zachariah Branch, who I think could very well be their option. I mean, to me, this is the piece that they need to go with Mike Evans, is Zachariah Branch. He's sitting there at 48. Jadarion Price from Notre Dame at 49. I really think that he is the running back that I would get to play next to Christian and to be the return guy now that you don't have Sky Moore. Price is an elite returner. 50 is Jennings Dunker. 51 is Eli Stowers. 52 is Keith Abney, this corner from ASU. My point is just that between 40 and 50 in that range, man, that is the sweet spot. If you could get down from 27, get down into the main round 40, pick up 3 or 4 extra late day 3 picks, and then start your draft, as you said, with an offensive lineman. Jennings Dunker, I think, might be the perfect guy for them. Why? Because Iowa runs their scheme. He is thought to be a guy that can evolve over time into a starting right tackle. May never be a left tackle, Damon, but he's thought to be a potential right tackle. But he's thought to be a plug and play 6'5", 320-pound tenacious guard. And you put Jennings Dunker at left guard, and he's got the potential to kick out to be your replacement tackle. I, you know, to me, that's the move. That's the move. You start your draft there. You move back into the 40s. You get Dunker. You get great value. Heck, if you could get any of those, you know, top tier offensive tackles, I think your guy, Monroe Freeling, is not only your guy, he's the NFL's guy.
He's gone.
I'll make this prediction. I think Monroe Freeling goes top 10.
I think Monroe Freeling is the first tackle drafted.
I think he goes top 10.
Yeah, I do too.
You know, because once
I was on Monroe Freeling, I was on Monroe Freeling before the combine. So, you know, that's the I know
you and others. But
I don't try to portray myself as a tape grinder or anything, Larry, but I fell in love with that guy right away. And when I saw his speed, the way that he got out to blocks on the second level, I just thought, ooh.
He's projected to go 13 right now to the Rams. By the way, the Rams this morning are talking about getting involved in the A.J. Brown sweepstakes.
Yeah.
I don't know. So you're going to have Puka, Devontae, and A.J. Brown and Stafford. I mean, that's – and all those tight ends. 49ers. The 49ers, you know, it's like now the question is, what direction do the Niners go? And we'll hit that in just a second. But first, let's mention our sponsors because we got rolling here. We never mentioned our sponsors. Of course, the Krug Show brought to you by Pig and a Pickle. The best barbecue in all of Northern California is Pig and a Pickle. Check them out. They're in Emeryville. They're in Corte Madera. They're open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. They'll soon open in Petaluma. Also, thank you to Alamar Marina. Float on the Sacramento River while you have brunch and breakfast or lunch. AlamarMarina.net.
That's what brunch is, Larry. Brunch is breakfast or lunch, correct?
There you go. I mean, they're open for breakfast and lunch. 5999 Garden Highway, great spot. Float while you eat. Thank you to Novato Chevrolet. Go meet my guy, David Corral. He's the man to go see. They got great selection, great dealership, highly rated, fantastic service, amazing selection. Family-owned dealership for 5 decades, Novato Chevrolet. Is the only Chevrolet dealership that I will go to. And, of course, you know, as I said, thanks to Sleep, thanks to Pig and a Pickle, thanks to our friends also at Sharp Corners, Sports Cards and Collectibles. Great guys. Check them out. 205 Cypress Avenue in Pacific Grove on the Monterey Peninsula. Call Anthony Catania. He's at 831-521-5264.
Thanks very much to Ike's. Go get yourself a delicious sandwich every single Thursday between now and March 26th. He's got a second sandwich deal that corresponds with his birthday coming up on the 26th of March. A second sandwich is going for $4.80 when you use promo code Ike B-Day. That's because he's turning 48. So there you go. Check out Ike's and thank you very much to our sponsors indeed. We're talking about trading back. We're talking about acquiring more draft capital. And one of the vehicles that we thought the 49ers would drive to more draft capital is running out of parking spaces here, Larry. Unless the Pittsburgh Steelers are walking away from Aaron Rodgers, Mac Jones is out of starter reps in this league. If the Steelers don't want to bring in Mac Jones to be a starter, Mac Jones is not going to be a starter next year. That's that.
Who's Arizona's starter?
Well, I just don't think
today Kyler is a Viking.
I don't think they're going to trade him within the division. I just don't. Maybe. Okay. So Arizona, I guess, would be the only other landing spot. I heard they're thinking about taking a run at Jimmy Garoppolo,
which makes you think that they're not. Because he's not very good. They picked up Gardner Minshew the other day. So they have the Minshew madness.
Kyler Murray is a Minnesota Viking. That's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know what to make of that. You know, you can look at some of Kyler Murray's numbers and you're like, oh, he's just among a handful of quarterbacks to ever have this many passing yards and this many rushing yards so early in his career. And the other quarterbacks are awesome. Like it's like, you know, Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen and, you know, the Michael Vick or, you know, like Cam Newton, like he is in a level of, geez, all these guys are really good, but I don't know if I believe Kyler Murray is quite them. I don't know about that for the Minnesota Vikings.
Well, I'll just say this. As somebody who worked for the Arizona Cardinal organization way back in the 90s, under Keith Kidd and Joe Woolley and Buddy Ryan, the ownership is not great.
Now,
the Bidwell family has owned that franchise for a long time. They have not had a good organization, for a lot of years. And they've had a lot. I think they're turning it around now. I kind of liked Gannon, but he got fired. Austin Fort, I think, is a pretty good GM. We'll see what they do. They wanted no part of Kyler. And, they walked away from Kyler, the Niners lucked out. If the Cardinals don't screw up and draft Kyler Murray, the Niners don't ever get Nick Bosa. And who knows where the Niners go. So the best draft choice of the Lynch and Shanahan era, you could argue, was lucky because, Kyler went one. But yeah, I do think, the Niners are set. They can keep Mac Jones. And why wouldn't you after what he did this year? Or you can trade Mac Jones. Or you can wait until some quarterback inevitably gets hurt, and then you're going to have the guy, and you might get more by holding him than you even would get by trading him right now. So,
and you don't see the word astronomical attached to too many trade proposals, but all the reports are is that the Niners asked for astronomical compensation for Mac Jones. Maybe they overplayed a little bit. I think they wanted a second rounder, Larry. I think they got a
name. I think they wanted a first. I think they wanted a second and a player. Like if the Arizona Cardinals came knocking, and let's just say for shits and giggles that Monty Austin Fort doesn't want Jimmy G and doesn't want Minshew and actually does want Mac Jones. And he calls the Niners, John, I want Mac. Monty, I can't trade him to you. You're in the division. We'll pay the premium. We want Mac. We're staring at Jimmy G, John, for crying out loud. I need me some Mac Jones. Monty, we'll trade him to you. We haven't, set any hard, fast rules, but we want a major asset or two. John, what do you need?
Give me a second rounder this year and a second rounder next year.
Well, here's what I would want. I want Michael Wilson, the receiver, who went to Stanford, who lit up the Niners for a 15-catch day late in the year.
You're trading a wide receiver as you're acquiring a quarterback. You're not going to trade your best wide receiver as you're trying to improve your passing game.
He's their best wide receiver. They drafted Marvin Harrison Jr. in the top five. Marvin Harrison Jr. should be their top wide receiver. So I'm saying Michael Wilson in a second-round pick and a conditional day three pick in 27. Because I'm not getting caught in a situation where I don't make the playoffs. You do. And you win 10 games in a playoff game with Mac Jones and I'm fired. So I got to have protection in case Mac Jones does for you what Sam Darnold did for Seattle. So I want Michael Wilson in a second round pick in this draft. And then we'll say a conditional pick in next year's draft that can be a third, a fourth, a fifth, based on, how many games you win, how he plays, so on and so forth. But I wouldn't trade. I would definitely trade Mac Jones, and I would trade him in the division. But I wouldn't trade him for anything less than a total win. And if you get a starting caliber receiver and a second round pick and a conditional pick, I think you're covered. There is some debate over is Mac going to fetch a compensatory third a year from now. I think he is, based on what I've read, but I don't have that 100% confirmed yet. There's some back and forth about. Are they or aren't they going to get a compensatory third-round pick for Mac Jones a year from now? So I definitely want to research that, because if you're not, then you should be very motivated to move him this year or before the trade deadline, let's say, not necessarily right this second. But, yeah, I would still move Mac Jones if there's a good offer. If there's no good offer, keep him. Absolutely keep him.
Again, it's the only grade where you have an A-plus in the NFL. Backup quarterback, you get the A-plus grade because of Mac Jones's status. I'm not saying he's an A-plus quarterback, but right. As your QB2, you're not going to do better than that in this league. There's not many quarterbacks who are QB2 who you can turn around and hand a month and a half's work to, and you don't take a step back. He saved their bacon last year, so I understand why they're loyal to him. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. Let me ask you this, Larry, because I know you're in for Papa today. I know you got to get going.
And I got to go. I got to go. In fact, I got to go right now. You can do those later if you need to. I gotta jump.
Larry's got to jump. Well, then can we get to supers real quick, or is it just no. Thanks to the supers, everyone? Let's just bring them up real quick. Just boom.
No, thank you, everyone. The show starts in 3 minutes. Sorry, we lost track of time here. So if you want to continue on for a minute or two and read those, that
would be great. I'd be happy to, Larry. Okay. I would. Can you let me keep going here, and I'll end the stream without you?
Absolutely.
Bon voyage, Larry Krueger. Thank you very, very much. Let me just say this from Matt Barrows before we get into any of this right here. Hold on. Let me get this down. There we go. All right. Boys and girls, let's wrap up with this. There are still players available. This is Matt Barrows' list. And I think there is a chance that either Yetur Gross-Matos or Cleland Farrell is come back to by the 49ers. They are still available. Yetur Gross-Matos and Cleland Farrell, given the fact that Bryce Huff has decided to retire, I think that reapproaching one of those guys might not be bad business for the 49ers. Juwan Jennings still continues to hang in the ether. The market, has spent big on wide receivers, but they're not looking to spend big on him. Stephon Diggs is a name that I would still like to see attached to the 49ers. Larry to Hollywood for the Bay Area. No, look, he's helping out the KNBR with Papa, and we wish Papa the very best of recoveries. Let me wrap up though with our supers, because anyone who's nice enough to donate a super, we certainly thank you very, very much. Let's just start with something that wasn't a super, because it's the other thing that I had to tell you about today, and I was going to talk about this with Larry. I saw that Lorenzo Neal tweeted last night that he lost his mother, and Lorenzo Neal lost his father a few years back. And he lost his mother last night. She passed away. So our thoughts and prayers are obviously with Lorenzo Neal, who, along with being, I think, a future Hall of Fame player, is a Hall of Fame person. And you don't become a Hall of Fame person without some Hall of Fame parents. Dunn98 says, good morning, Damon and Larry. My mother passed away. I just wanted to ask, what is something you guys did to get through grieving when you lost a parent? All right, so this is not sports. This is real life here. Grieve. Don't try to play it off like you're tough enough to get through it. That is a moment of grieving. So let it out. Let your emotion out. Let be part of the grieving process as it's coming to you. Don't deny it. Losing a parent is some of the most powerful medicine that I've ever taken. When my father passed away, I think it took me like 3 or 4 days to cry about it. But when I did break down and really cried about it, it was catharsis. So go ahead and absolutely grieve the moment and support your family the very best you can. And also understand and hopefully find comfort in the fact, as cruel as this is, losing your parent is in the natural order of things. What's really tragic is when a parent loses a child. That is not the natural order of things. We will all hopefully have the privilege of burying our parents in a loving, respectful way. So meet the moment, don't deny the moment, and that would be my advice. And I'm certainly no therapist, but that's the advice that I would give you. Buster Bratmus, great Niner momentum till Trent spoils it. Well, look, it is time to get Trent Williams back. I mean, just no messing around here. Period. End of story. You need Trent. There is no trading Trent, and you get better and you're better off for next year. Why are you going ahead and adding a guy like Mike Evans to walk away from another future Hall of Famer? I think that Trent and his demands need to be met once again. And the reason why the 49ers are in this position once again is because they are no longer, they have ignored replacing Trent long enough to where it's finally caught up with them. It's caught up. It seems to catch up with them almost every year. Is the plan to still draft O-line, D-line in the first round? I think it has to be, Fuji. Thank you very, very much. Gents, top three roster right now, assuming Trent is back. This is 49ers Frank. Can we get an impromptu joint mock at the end of the show? Have a great weekend. Well, look, Larry and I came up with a way to do a mock a year ago, and we will have our official here is how we would draft show, but we're still a couple of weeks away from that. We got to get closer to the actual draft itself. This is from Riker Trav. Let's go, Dre. Just stay healthy. Excited to have Dre Greenlaw back. Hella this, hella that. Larry, what are your thoughts on Cassius Howell on 27? Well, you're going to have to ask Larry next time you get to talk to him. I like him. I like the player at 27. My only problem with Cassius Howell at 27 is that he is not an offensive lineman, and I think it's time that this team addressed that in the first round. Thomas Selman says, why are people acting like Purdy is old? He's 26. Who in God's name is acting like Purdy is old? That is ridiculous. Hey, guys, I love what you've done so far. How about a defensive end? Look in the draft. Any chance we get a solid starter with a late first? Again, we're back to Cassius Howell right in that question, aren't we? Thank you very much, David. This is Garibay. Team needs better talent than to draft for need. Go BPA, that player will do well regardless of the position. Best player available. I think that the reason why John Lynch has had better success at the back of the draft is because that's where he's looking for best player available, where early on in the draft, he gets caught up in need a little bit too much, and maybe that, you know, brings him to the wrong player over and over again. Do you think Pearsall still gets dealt for value, Fuji? I know that Larry does. Larry's got a source. I got eyes and common sense, and I don't think my eyes or common sense tell me that they're going to walk away from a player that they drafted in the first round, who has been successful when healthy, who is now, I think, part of a wide receiver room that has Mike Evans in it, which changes the nature of things. I don't think they can walk away from Ricky Pearsall. I don't think they can trade Ricky Pearsall. I don't think he's going to get traded. Larry has been arguing with me about that for over a month. I think when it's all said and done, I'm going to be right, and his source is going to be wrong. And I'm going to tell you, I don't think Renardo Green's going anywhere either. This is Fuji saying, I'd be okay with trading back for first-round picks. Trading back the first round four picks. Yeah, I would too. I would too, as long as what they come away with is a really good offensive lineman. Damon, I watch the Masters to honor past family. My dad and I, you talk about the days where I miss my father the most. It's the days that the Masters is having that Sunday round. My dad and I would always, I mean, it's not like we were infrequent communicators, but the one day of the year I knew my father and I would talk for sure was Master Sunday every single year. I miss that with him very, very much. All right. Well, let's see. Thanks to everyone here. Why are we re-signing Luke Gifford? That is Scuba Pat. Luke Gifford re-signed. Gabriel in New York. We got another saying, Gabriel again, 2 years, $5.3 million for Gifford. Luke Gifford back in the mix. Okay. I mean, obviously they like the player. They think that he has special teams ability that they covet. And that's why Luke Gifford is back in the mix. And for that price, again, that's couch cushion money for a young player. So there you go. Thanks very much for tuning in today. It was great having everyone. Sorry we lost Larry a little bit, but, you know, his duties called, and I was more than happy to finish this one out solo. Thank you very, very much to everyone who watched. Let's see, where's the Larry goodbye button? Can I end this in the official way that Larry would end it? I think I can. All right, boys and girls, I appreciate you watching. Thanks very, very much.
Well, can I do the bulky
and the Ralph impression all at the same time to wrap this up with a little bit of tradition? Let's end with this. Sports don't build character, they reveal it.
And like that, he's gone.
It's the old way we used to end the show on KNBR. Thanks very much for watching. We'll be back with more Wake Up on Monday. Have yourself a great weekend.